Welcome to the Florida Roundup here on Florida Public Radio. Happy New Year. Thanks for listening. I'm Tom Hudson in Miami.
And I'm Melissa Ross in Jacksonville. Well, it has been a record week for COVID-19 in Florida, with tens of thousands of new infections and hundreds of new deaths. And infectious disease experts warn it could get worse. Almost half of the known cases in the U.S. of a more dangerous, contagious strain of the coronavirus are on the ground now here in Florida.
And in the meantime, vaccination plans have been unsteady and frustrating, with crashing websites to sign up for a vaccine, unanswered phone calls, long lines in some places. Now, as the week wore on, more vaccination sites and more hospitals began giving out doses. This is Governor Ron DeSantis in Miami Gardens on Wednesday announcing a vaccination site where the Miami Dolphins play football.
I have enough people telling me they can do more. We want them to do more. And so, you know, we've asked for more, and I think you're going to start to see, you know, that really pop to scale very soon.
Now, later on in the hour here on the Florida Roundup, we're also going to talk about the other huge story from the week, the deadly insurrection on Capitol Hill and calls for impeachment. A Florida member of the House Judiciary Committee, Ted Deutsch, will join us about that. But first, this hour, we've got to look at where things stand here in the Sunshine State when it comes to COVID-19 vaccinations. And here's what we want to hear from you. Have you gotten vaccinated? Have you or a family member tried to sign up to get the shot? Are you maybe having trouble accessing the portals to make an appointment to get the vaccine? Wherever you are in Florida, we want to hear from you right now. It's 305-995-1800 to call in or tweet us at Florida Roundup.
The person in charge of the state's vaccine distribution is Jared Moskowitz. He's the director of Florida's Division of Emergency Management, and he joins us on this Friday afternoon from Tallahassee. Director Moskowitz, welcome back to Florida Public Radio. Nice to hear from you.
Hey, pleasure to be here. Thanks, guys.
Through Wednesday, according to the state data, about 380,000 Floridians have received one dose of vaccine. Almost 15,000 have received both doses. How many doses has the state received in all?
So doses that have been delivered, we've had 1.2 million first doses delivered, 118,000 second doses delivered to the state.
So, okay. And so why so few doses actually in the arms of Floridians? If 1.2 million first doses are here, about, what, a third of those have been distributed?
Yeah, so we've done about 30% of the doses we've received are in arms. And quite frankly, I think we've done actually more than that, but reporting of those doses into Florida shots, sometimes the facilities that are doing those, they lag by 2 or 3 days. So the data is a little behind. The only two states that have done more shots in arms than us are California with 20 million more people, Texas with 8 million more people. So we're third in the country. We're increasing every single solitary day. We've done 443,000 vaccinations total, 60,000 people just yesterday. And so this is not where we want to be. Obviously, I'm frustrated by the supply process. People want to know, where's the long-range planning? Well, we're only getting information every 7 days. I only know what I'm going to receive 7 days from now. I don't know what I'm getting in 2 weeks or 3 weeks. The federal government, through the Operation Warp Speed, doesn't tell us that information.
Director Moskowitz, I'll ask you about what you expect in a week, but in terms of the, 600,000 doses that are here in Florida that have yet to be in the arms of Floridians, where are those 600,000 doses?
Sure, 200,000 had to be set aside because the federal government long-term care program required you to take that allocation right off the top to turn on that program. As we know, that program has not gone well, which is why the governor directed me to start supplementing that program, and I'll vaccinate 50,000 people next week in ALF. So 200,000 are there. The rest are in hospitals and county health departments, and they are getting them out. A lot of the hospitals felt that they had a moral obligation to hold on to the second dose, even though that was not the instructions given by the federal government or us. And quite frankly, that's because the federal government, Operation Warp Speed, has not been able to instill confidence that the second shot is going to arrive or when it's going to arrive. So that lack of foreseeability, unfortunately, it's causing a lot of facilities to be nervous about running out of vaccine.
Well, and the governor, in fact, said this week that if a hospital or some other health organization is holding on to doses, they may not get another allotment if they're not turning out. So what kind of confidence can you supply to the health agencies in the counties, the hospitals, and the Floridians who have had one dose and perhaps next week or in 2 weeks are due to get that second dose?
Yeah, well, look, we will make sure that people get their second dose. You know, we did receive, even though, again, we only get information every 7 days, we did receive the first week second dose from the federal government, so that did happen. Second dose shots are ongoing. So that is one piece of good news. That should help bring the confidence level up. We are talking to hospitals every single solitary day. Pods, points of distribution are opening. And so things are starting to churn. But listen, we turned on 65 and older here in the state of Florida, one of the only two states to do that in the country. Yeah. 80% of our deaths are in that 65 and older group. And we have 4 million 65 and older people. So getting 250,000 vaccines a week is just not enough to serve the most vulnerable among us.
Director Moskowitz, we're going to take some phone calls from Floridians in just a matter of moments. But what are you told about the supply of vaccines coming to Florida in the next week?
So we're going to receive 254,000 doses of vaccine next week. 50,000 of those will go to long-term care facilities to complete the 1A mission that we signed up with the CDC. And then 30,000 doses are going to go to Publix to increase the pharmacy program that's going well. If we got more doses, we would turn on more pharmacies. So that leaves about 170,000 doses to put at hospitals, county health departments, county pods, and state pods for distribution. It's just not enough. These sites are getting overwhelmed, and the systems are getting crashed because too many people are trying to go to too few distribution locations because we can't turn on more locations because we don't have enough vaccine.
We're speaking right now here on the Florida Roundup with Jared Moskowitz. He is the director of Florida's Division of Emergency Management. As we get the very latest on the state's efforts to roll out vaccinations for COVID-19, are you having trouble getting an appointment? What are your questions about getting vaccinated? 305-995-1800. Let's go to Timothy, a senior in Fort White, Florida. Hi, Timothy. Happy New Year to you. What's your situation with trying to get the vaccine?
Hi, Happy New Year to you. I'm in Columbia County, and I can't find anything on information, not only for myself at 57, but for our elderly grandparents that live with us that are 87 and 90. Mm-hmm. We've left multiple messages with the county health department and emails. No callbacks. There's no information on any website. There just doesn't seem to be any information to give us any confidence in what our county is doing or if our county's even getting the vaccine versus the more populated, wealthier counties in South Florida.
So they're not providing an online portal in Columbia County for you to make appointments. Is that right?
There seems to be an online form that you can fill out, and there's a number that you can call, but you can't talk to anybody. I've called multiple times, left multiple messages, left multiple emails. Our elderly grandparents, we've signed them up on the form provided, but there's no information at all about where it's going to take place, how they're going to reach out to you to tell you that your time is up, and no plan to tell us that are under 65 when we might have access to
right.
The vaccine. Our county doesn't have a mask mandate. I'm actually driving from Lake City after running a couple errands there all the way to Alachua, where I'm going to go to the Publix and the Lowe's there because at least there's people wearing masks there versus Columbia County, where most of the people are just acting like everything's normal.
Timothy, thank you so much for the call. Okay, Jared, as your division frantically works to get the logistics of this spreading out across the state, what about this feedback we're getting from Timothy and so many others like him? They can't get an appointment on a health department website. They can't get through on the lines. You know, and let's be clear, under Governor Ron DeSantis, public health budgets have been hollowed out in this state. Public health departments in Florida aren't what they used to be. And now they're being tasked with this massive public health execution effort. So how is that complicating your efforts?
Well, first, I want to thank Timothy for calling into the show. I know, obviously, he's frustrated. I share his frustration. I wear a mask every day, Timothy, so I understand your point there. We're still fighting COVID every single day. Obviously, people are still winding up in hospitals. Things are not normal. And so, I want to assure you we're continuing to still do what we do here every day at the division to help our hospitals and help our public fight COVID-19. There is a site in Columbia County, as Timothy talked about, Southside Sports Complex, and the reason why Timothy's having problems is because there's just not enough vaccine. Healthcare is delivered at the local level, as we all know. Hospitals, county health departments, pharmacies, doctors, nurses, it's not delivered at the state. Some county health departments and counties and hospitals are doing it better than others. And so, hopefully as we get more supply, Timothy will be able to get that appointment.
But let me ask you about the health department aspect of this, because in many counties, people are having to access appointments through those websites, and that's not going well.
Right. So to answer your question about the health departments, which is not under me, it's under the Department of Health.
Mm-hmm.
Your point is well taken. You know, the previous administration, quite frankly, gutted public health departments for 8 years. And so this is part of the result. We don't have systems in the state that are built to get out vaccine in this order. The federal government did not send money for distribution in advance so that we could increase these systems. This is a national emergency. It's not a Columbia County or a state or a local emergency, a national issue. So listen, there are problems all around. The division will always do what we have done, whether it's in a hurricane or the beginning of COVID. We will help prop up local government. We will help prop up local counties. The governor has instructed me to get 1,000 nurses to help increase throughput. Those are already out in the field. Vaccine, we want to make sure it's equitable. We're opening up locations in the minority community, partnering with churches to make sure that we have equitable distribution of the vaccine. Again, I'm going into the ALS to make sure that we're vaccinating the most vulnerable among us. So the state is standing up. We are helping out our health department, our state department, our county health department, and we are working with our EM directors. But at the end of the day, 4 million people are 65 and younger. 65 and older in the state of Florida, and I'm getting 250,000 vaccines a week. That is not sustainable. The federal government needs to stand up.
Director Moskowitz, let me ask you that. You talk about equitable distribution. Some hospitals in South Florida, some nursing homes have been essentially allocating some doses of vaccine to wealthy donors, to boards of directors, for instance, not allocating it to the nursing staff or to residents who are 65 and older. Is that appropriate?
Not only is it not appropriate, it's completely shameful, okay, and disgraceful.
But not illegal, correct?
That happened under the federal contract. That's the federal contract for the long-term care facilities with the federal pharmacy partners. And that was a federal contractor who did that site. I'm not a party to the contract. I have no visibility into how or why that happened. But let's be clear, unacceptable. Whether it's illegal, I'll leave that up to the authorities. If it was outside the governor's executive order, then obviously I think there are things that the state can do. The governor has called for an investigation into what happened. So I think the governor has been clear. Again, there's not enough vaccine to go around. We have to make sure we're taking care of our most vulnerable population. To help decrease the burden on our healthcare system, to help decrease that. But that incident that you highlight is just the worst example of sometimes how people take advantage.
Lots of calls and tweets for Jared Moskowitz, who directs Florida's Emergency Management Division, directing the rollout of the COVID vaccine. It's 305-995-1800. Here are just a couple of tweets that have come into the show. Bob writes, I spent 6 hours unable to get online reservations in Hillsborough and Pinellas County Monday. The websites crashed. The phone's not working. In Flagler County, Maribel tweets, Flagler County has no vaccines. I can't even get an appointment because they stated they didn't know when they will have more. As we're hearing from Mr. Moskowitz, that's the problem. Not enough supply coming in at the federal level just yet. Deborah is on the line in Holly Hill. Hi, Deborah. Thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you.
Sure.
Well, I'll tell you, I feel incredibly fortunate because through my work, I found out about getting the vaccine through Halifax Hospital. And on Tuesday, we got our first dose. So I just lucked out. I've just been real fortunate. And they were very well organized. There was a line, but it moved smoothly. Everything moved smoothly there. Everything was very efficient. And I am one of the fortunate ones. And I'm 70 years old. So when I found out about it, I certainly was not going to pass off the opportunity.
Sure. Well, hey, Deborah, I'm so glad to hear that that went well for you. Thank you for that. And Jared, let's hope we hear more of those kinds of narratives in the coming weeks and days as you work on this.
Yeah, look, the more supply we get, the more Deborahs we will have. So, Deborah, thank you.
Director Moskowitz, let me ask you, 250,000 doses next week. If that is going to be the allotment going ahead, it's going to take 4 months to have enough supply to vaccinate all 4 million senior citizens in the state of Florida.
No, that's right. I mean, Dr. Fauci has been telling everybody that this was going to take a year, and perhaps maybe we thought he was being conservative. But at this rate, look, people are frustrated. They want to get to the end of this nightmare as fast as possible. People have lost loved ones. Okay, people have COVID now that are in a hospital. And this idea that we don't have enough vaccine for them is unacceptable. And so I get it. I want to get to the end of this as fast as possible. And there are grieving people out there every single day, and we're making more of them because of the because of the pandemic. And so, look, the federal government's got to figure out this production end. There's a new administration coming in. They got to get their hands around this as fast as possible.
Let me ask you about that, Jared. In just a few days, we will have a new administration. They've called for a change in COVID response. What are your thoughts about how Florida will react to that?
Well, listen, again, I welcome more vaccines. So changing policies and procedures are great, but really we got to change production. So, you know, I know the new administration is focused on this. I know they have a COVID task force focused on vaccine. I have spoken with them. I have told them what's happening on the ground, and so I'm encouraged by the team that is being assembled. And so, look, things are going to take some time. It's not going to be fixed. Everyone wants instant gratification, including myself. But I'm hopeful that they're going to get a handle on the production.
If the federal government is supplying that 250,000 doses, who's making the decisions at the state level, Director Moskowitz, about where those doses are going in Florida?
Sure, that's a great question. So in consultation with the Department of Health and ACA and our emergency management directors and our county health directors and the hospitals, we're looking now at what infrastructure is out there and built and what the throughput is. Are they able to get shots in arms? And so now we are sending vaccine to places with a proven record of being able to get shots in arms. I'd like to increase it. I'd like to have more locations.
Director Moskowitz, we have to leave it there. Unfortunately, we are out of our supply of time. But we do appreciate you spending the time with us here on this Friday. Jared Moskowitz is the director of Florida's Division of Emergency Management.
Still to come, your calls and tweets as we round robin across the state on the vaccine rollout here on the Florida Roundup from Florida Public Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Florida Roundup, and thanks for being with us this Friday. I'm Melissa Ross in Jacksonville.
And I'm Tom Hudson in Miami. The public vaccine rollout is about a week old, and it has been marked by crashing websites, unanswered phone calls and emails, long lines in some places. The state and hospitals have opened more vaccination sites as the week has gone on. Have you tried to get a dose? Have you been successful in signing up for an appointment in the days ahead? What that's experience been like? Share it with us at 305-995-1800. 305-995-1800. You can also tweet us at Florida Roundup. We're going to hear from public media reporters all across the state about the experiences, and we want to hear from you. 305-995-1800. Veronica Zaragovia covers healthcare in South Florida for WLRN. Veronica, welcome back to the program. We may have some connection problems there with Veronica, but let's hear from South Florida. Janet in Lake Worth is calling in. Go ahead, Janet. You're on the radio.
Everyone.
Hi, how are you?
Good, great. I just happened to turn my radio on when I got in the car, and I called in because I wanted to tell everybody how fortunate I feel being in the healthcare industry that I was able to get the vaccine. So I work in a nursing home, and they came to my facility today, and I just got it about 3 hours ago.
Oh.
And a lot of the staff, mixed reaction, not all of them got it. I've been trying to encourage everybody to get it because it's a golden opportunity that we might not have. I keep hearing about people wanting to get it and not able to get through, and I feel so blessed to get it.
So you're 3 hours into your vaccination. Any side effects, Janet?
Oh, I feel great. The shot was painless. The people from Walgreens were very accommodating. It was great. It was a very great experience, and I'm so thankful.
And what about residents in the facility you work in? Have they had the opportunity to be vaccinated?
Yes, they are getting inoculated today, and again, some of them have declined, but I think the majority of the population got it. Because I've been kind of going around asking, like, are you getting the vaccine or not? And majority of the people I spoke with are getting it. But the staff were a little leery, you know. Some of them kept saying, oh, I want to wait for it. And I kept telling them, I was like, we are getting the opportunity. You should take the opportunity now, where a lot of people, millions of people, are trying to get it and couldn't get it.
Janet, thanks for calling.
Yeah, lots of calls.
Janet there in Lake Worth.
And we're going out of James in Tampa. Hey, James, have you gotten the vaccine yet?
Yes.
Go ahead, James.
Yes, I did.
And tell us about your experience. Yeah, we sure can. Go ahead.
Okay, great. We just less than an hour ago here in Hillsborough County, my wife got us appointments on Monday. After it was difficult, but by afternoon she got them. We had appointments today at the Ed Radice Sports Complex in Tampa. It couldn't have been better well organized. It was run by the Hillsborough County Fire and Rescue guys and paramedics. So, and there were lots of them, and then lots of volunteers. So we showed up. We had our ID. We had our consent forms, and they just let us right through and got our put us in the correct line. We got our shots, and it's been an hour now. We feel perfectly fine.
Wow. How old, if I may ask, how old are you and your wife?
I'm 74, and my wife is 72.
So understandably, you were eager to get the vaccine, and did you register online? What was the portal you used to make your appointments?
We used the Hillsborough County portal, and we started right first thing on Monday morning at 9 o'clock. And that was jammed. But by persisting, my wife just hung in there. And by mid-afternoon, she got through, and we got our appointments for this morning. And, it could not have been more satisfying, more and better run. And the Hillsborough County just absolutely did a sensational job.
Well, James, I'm glad to hear that. And certainly, that's James in Tampa. James, thanks for calling. You know, Tom, that's kind of been the story we're hearing from across Florida. People that are successful have been very persistent. They keep calling back. They keep refreshing the website so that they can get through the process and get that shot into their arm.
Yeah, it's been remarkable to hear stories about hitting refresh, hitting renew, calling up dozens. I've heard stories, Melissa, of folks calling hundreds of times, having family members call in from out of state and sometimes, out of country to call these local health department, local phone numbers, in hopes of having the ability to get an appointment. And the moment that some of these local health departments and hospitals post the fact that they're taking appointments, they're as quick as, the hottest concert ticket was before the pandemic, right?
Right.
It would kind of be a sold-out situation in a matter of just a few minutes.
Let me, if I could, I just want to get one tweet on the air because it's kind of funny. Ann tweets the show, trying to get a COVID vaccine appointment online in St. John's County was like trying to get Springsteen tickets on Ticketmaster. In other words, impossible. So
yeah,
that's the picture out there.
Yeah, no, it's been an incredible story. And as Director Moskowitz had mentioned, it is just overwhelming demand, and understandably so, and really tight supplies. And as he just told us here live, right, 250,000 doses are expected in the next week. And that's to serve a population, a potential population, 65 and older in Florida, of 4 million people.
A huge public health challenge. Yep, absolutely right. Marie is on the line in Weston. Hello, Marie. You're on the Florida Roundup.
Hi. Hi. Great to get through. I've tried several times.
Well, thanks for keeping at it.
I've been trying since Monday to get an appointment on the portal BrowardCOVIDvaccine.com, and it's been impossible. I'm continuously refreshing, and no appointments are available. And the most frustrating part of it is I understand that the appointments aren't available, but it would be great if I could sign up to be put in the queue so that when the vaccine becomes available, I would get an appointment.
Right. And, you know, Marie, I'm so sorry you're in this boat. So many out there are in your exact same situation. It is incredibly frustrating to hear these tales of trying desperately to get the vaccine. All I can advise is what Tom was saying and what others have been saying. It looks as though, as officials work to get more doses, people are just going to have to keep trying to access their appointment availabilities. So, Marie, keep the faith, and thank you for calling the show.
305-995-1800, telling your stories of trying to get vaccinated here against COVID-19. If you're 65 and older, you are in that target population, as decreed by Governor Ron DeSantis just before Christmas. That's the priority in Florida for vaccinations. WLRN's healthcare reporter in South Florida, Veronica Zaragovia, is now with us. We've sorted out some of the technical difficulties. Veronica, how has the week been for the vaccination rollout in South Florida?
Well, Tom, I'd say there's been hope tempered by a lot of frustration because the hiccups persist. More sites are opening up, but the thing is that demand still outpaces supply. So Baptist Health, for instance, it launched its appointment portal today and without announcing when, and with persistence, people snagged the 12,000 appointments pretty immediately. And the same thing happened with Jackson this week. People are also still not getting confirmation. So there's just still confusion. And if you don't speak English at the native level, it's also very difficult to kind of guide your way through this process.
So you mentioned Jackson Health System, which is the public safety net hospital in South Florida, Baptist, which is a nonprofit private but large medical center. How are these different groups, like the county health departments, hospitals, and others, how are they dealing with demand?
Well, they are opening more sites. They're not just having inoculations take place in one particular place. They also have, for instance, Jackson told me that they have paramedics on site to help with the vaccinations. But if around the state, a county or a hospital would need help with nurses, the state has hired 1,000 nurses for this purpose. And some counties, like take Miami-Dade County, it has a webpage now at miamidade.gov where you can go and see if any of the sites in the county have any appointments available. I can tell you that right now nothing is available.
They don't, right.
Right. Yeah. And then other, you know, Collier County where Naples is, they're using Eventbrite. And different every county and hospital system is using a different method to try to meet this demand.
It adds to the frustration. It adds to the confusion because, of course, Florida residents or even visitors can cross county lines looking for that appointment and avail themselves of the vaccine supply that comes to them if they have that ability. So how are the sites and the hospitals geared up to deal with more supply if, in fact, it materializes in the weeks ahead?
Well, for instance, I, as well as many other reporters, were invited to Hard Rock to see
let's say a soft
Hard Rock Stadium where the Miami Dolphins play.
Correct. And they had members of the National Guard on site, and it seems that might be a solution to speeding things up, because a lot of sites are that will be opening up are also testing sites. So I saw a very long line of cars, but actually it was moving, and I think maybe that's helping to direct people to the right lane or, you know, right spot that they need to get to. And also, so and they're thinking in Miami-Dade to open up vaccinations at Tropical and Marlins Parks in Miami-Dade County. And the Governor DeSantis did say that if a health department says it's taking a while to get through the supply that it has, then the state will take some of that allotment for the next shipment and move it to another site so that they try to distribute it.
The state also has, I think, either begun using or will begin using these pods in South Florida that are different than, you know, these big stadiums or the hospitals allocating the vaccines. What do you know about these pods?
We know very little. I know at a press conference with Miami-Dade County, the spokesperson for the health department in Miami-Dade County said that those would be rolling out soon. I think it might help with reaching people who are harder, you know, who it might be harder for them to get to one of these big stadiums and wait in the car for 5 hours. So that's going to help with the, you know, harder to reach people.
Now, this is the snowbird season throughout Florida, particularly in southeast, southwest Florida. Lots of part-time visitors from other parts of the country, the Northeast, the Midwest, that come down to Florida for the wintertime. And also lots of Canadians winter in southeast Florida. How are they being treated in the vaccine priorities?
That's right. And the reality is that there isn't a strict residency requirement as mandated by the state. And so that means that if you are here and you can prove that you will be back for your booster shot in 3 weeks, if you are getting the Pfizer-BioNTech or 4 weeks with the Moderna, then you will get vaccinated. And that is, I understand that for many people, this is very frustrating. I have sources who are in their 70s and 80s and have yet to get an appointment, and they live here full time.
Yeah.
On the other hand, the virus, it spreads whether you are a resident or not. And a lot of, you know, Jackson, for instance, told me they'd rather get people vaccinated than have them around spreading COVID-19 in Florida.
Yeah, the virus does not check your home address before
right.
deciding to infect your nasal passages. WLRN's healthcare reporter in South Florida, Veronica Zaragovia, joining us. Veronica, thank you for sharing your reporting. You are listening to the Florida Roundup from Florida Public Radio.
Well, long lines and people actually camping out overnight to get the vaccine was the scene this week in St. Johns County. That's an affluent suburb county of Jacksonville. Brendan Rivers of WJCT News in Jacksonville joins us now. Brendan, so long lines and seniors actually spending the night outside like they were going to a concert, camping out to get the vaccine. What caused this situation in St. John's?
The Florida Department was handling the vaccination process there at first. And as you said, it got off to a pretty rocky start. So over the weekend, like you said, people ended up waiting in their cars overnight to try and get the vaccine. And that was after the phone reservation system failed, and they kind of made everything first come, first serve. So people without appointments ended up getting vaccinated before some who had made appointments. And on Sunday, that line of cars got up to 3 miles long, and it was blocking roads in the area. And sheriff's deputies had come and help with the traffic. Since then, though, the county's taken over the vaccination process, and things seem to be going more smoothly.
That's good to hear. They're using an Eventbrite portal to make appointments. Now, let's go up to Duval County, where there's also strong demand in the city of Jacksonville. Mayor Lenny Curry has announced two new vaccination sites will be coming to this area. How badly is demand outpacing availability in Duval County?
Well, I mean, I think it's probably the same case everywhere. And I know when they first rolled this out a couple days ago, I spoke with several people in the area, and I think you were getting calls and emails as well, just that it was kind of a disaster, and people weren't able to get through to set appointments. And I think this is just kind of happening everywhere. I think just looking at these long lines we saw in St. John's County, Jacksonville, people couldn't get through, so they went to the Prime Osborne Center where they were doing the vaccine, even though they didn't have appointments. And if you just look at social media, lots of people are just complaining that they haven't been able to schedule an appointment or get the vaccine yet. So while I don't have any numbers or any figures to show this, you know, quantitatively, I think it's pretty clear that demand is far outpacing supply. But I don't think that's unique to St. John's or to Jacksonville or Northeast Florida. I think this is a statewide issue right now.
That's right. From a listener in Jacksonville, they tweet the Florida Roundup, UF Health Jax is offering the vaccination to seniors in their system. You can make an appointment at MyHealthUF. And Publix, Walgreens, CVS stores, county health departments, hospitals, there are a number of avenues that people are accessing to get the COVID vaccine. Here's one more tweet. I'm a 72-year-old cancer patient. I've signed up through the Palm Beach County email with no sign yet of when I might get it. You know, Brendan, that's what's been so tough to see is seniors who've been waiting all year and are so vulnerable and so worried. And now they've got to wait a little bit more, but we have to urge patience as they try to get the supply out there.
Yeah, you definitely feel for these people, and I think it's incredibly important that people just keep practicing these social distancing guidelines and wearing masks and stuff. Because even once you get the vaccine, I don't think they're sure yet, like, when exactly that's really going to provide a level of safety. And as far as I know, they still don't know if you can still spread it once you get the vaccine. So there's all these sort of uncertainties. We're in uncharted territory, so people need to continue taking precautions to protect themselves and others.
Absolutely right. Thank you so much. That's Brendan Rivers of WJCT News in Jacksonville. Brendan, thanks for being on the show.
Still to come on our program, the other big story this week, the insurrection on Capitol Hill, the unpeaceful transfer of power. We will hear from one Florida congressman's take on the Capitol Hill riots Wednesday. He sits on the House Judiciary Committee. What about presidential impeachment? That's next. Welcome back to the Florida Roundup here on Florida Public Radio. Thanks for supporting public media. I'm Tom Hudson in Miami.
And I'm Melissa Ross in Jacksonville. Well, five people are now dead, including a police officer, after Wednesday's violent insurrection attempt at the U.S. Capitol building in Washington.
The mob stormed the U.S. Capitol after a rally further down Pennsylvania Avenue earlier in the day, led by President Donald Trump. President Trump has been making false claims for weeks and months since he lost the election. He claims that it was stolen from him. It was not. President-elect Joe Biden will be inaugurated as the next president of the United States in less than 2 weeks. 305-995-1800. Your phone call, your thoughts on this, 305-995-1800, or at Florida Roundup on Twitter.
Representative Ted Deutsch, Democrat of South Florida, is on the House Judiciary Committee. He was there when the Capitol was attacked, and he joins us now. Congressman Deutsch, thank you for being with us.
Thanks. Thanks very much for having me, Melissa and Tom.
You know, it was absolutely chilling to watch this unfold, and very glad to see that you and your colleagues are safe. Can you share with us, first off, your experience Wednesday at the Capitol? What happened to you and your staff?
Well, sure. It was an awful, awful day. It was a bad, obviously terrible day for me and my colleagues and our staffs, but it was really a sad day for America. We had just started the process of certifying the election. We got as far as Arizona. Arizona was contested by some of my colleagues who were trying to reverse the outcome of the election. And the debate started, and suddenly word started to spread about the large numbers of people who had been at this rally earlier, coming up to Capitol Hill and approaching the Capitol and ultimately breaching the security barrier around the Capitol. People who were in the Capitol on the House floor, sheltered there. I had just left and I rushed back to my office where we were told, those of us who were in our offices were told to turn the lights off, stay away from doors and windows because of the security threats and silence electronics and just to lay low while this attack on our on the symbol of our democracy was underway. It was a surreal, awful, infuriating experience.
You're on the House Judiciary Committee. The chair, Chair Nadler, says he supports the immediate impeachment of President Trump. Democrats in the House are moving to draft new articles of impeachment. Do you support that? Do you believe the president should be removed?
Well, I do. And the articles of impeachment have been drafted already. We also sent a letter to the vice president urging him to utilize the 25th Amendment. The president ought to leave office at some point. This is, and this point is clearly now, not just for me, but for Republican colleagues of mine, for Republican leaders, for all of the cabinet officials who have stepped down, who recognize that what happened this week is, or worse, is not something that we should be forced to fear in the remaining 12 days with this president. So yes, I hope that the vice president will do the right thing here. If not, then moving forward and ensuring accountability and simply not saying this is just the president being the president. This was an assault on our democracy, an insurrection. These were domestic terrorists, and the president incited them.
But,
so,
and let me ask you, Representative Deutsch, we're not hearing that Vice President Pence would support the 25th Amendment, that he would direct the cabinet to do a 25th Amendment call necessarily. And are there the votes in the Senate to ratify an impeachment charge? And what, and
to convict? I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I don't know that there are. But this is not, we're long past this being about politics. This is about the security of our country, the security of our democracy. And we're having this conversation just a couple of days after a violent insurrection against the Capitol and the Congress that was doing its job to certify the election so we could have a peaceful transfer of power. So it's not up to me to figure out whether Rick Scott or Marco Rubio believe me and Republicans around the Republicans who have chimed in on this on Capitol Hill in recognizing the threat that the president poses. It's up to me as a member of the Judiciary Committee and a member of the House to do what I think is right here, which is to hold this president accountable for what we witnessed this week, even going back just over the weekend when the president, again, using these crazy conspiracy theories, tried to intimidate an elected official in Georgia into breaking the law so that he could retain power. This is a serious, serious moment for the country. We can't simply sit back and say, well, in another 12 days, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris will save us. We need to do everything we can to protect America. That's what this is about.
We're speaking with Representative Ted Deutsch, Democrat of South Florida, who serves on the House Judiciary Committee, about the violent insurrection Wednesday at the Capitol in Washington, D.C., and calls among Democrats in the House to move forward with articles of impeachment, the second time the president would be impeached. They have been drafted. It's 305-995-1800 to join us. This is the Florida Roundup from Florida Public Radio.
Let's take some of your phone calls in Tallahassee. Jeff is on line four. Jeff, thanks for calling the program. Go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for having me on. I'm very concerned about the fact that, for one thing, our president is pretty well acknowledged to be a pathological liar, and his followers believe his lies and come up with lies of their own and conspiracy theories and what have you. The right-wing news media carries that. And the very fact that we have a right-wing news media as well as a left-wing, if you want to call it that, news media, is part of the problem. The media is not doing a good job, I don't think, of policing it themselves on what the truth is, what the facts are, versus commentary. And there are plenty of times when commentary is going out over the airwaves. This is especially true of broadcast media. That's not identified as commentary. And then we have political advertising and the PACs, to whom we give a free pass to spew all the lies they want and spend big money doing it, And we just shrug our shoulders and say, this is how the system works. Well, guess what, folks? It's not working. So we need to find some way we can come together as a people to recognize what the facts are and separate facts from lies and facts from commentary.
Jeff in Tallahassee, I certainly agree with you regarding the difference between facts and commentary, and I will share with you, I'm not a believer in this phrase, fake news. It's either news or it's not. It would be like calling water dry. It just isn't. It is baked in the idea of news that it is not fact-based, but it is grounded in fact. Congressman Deutsch, let me ask you, what are the specific charges in these articles of impeachment that are being drafted against President Trump?
Well, I'll tell you that in 1 second. But before I do, Tom, I just want to make the point, just to follow up on Melissa's comment. This is, I know that it is a democratically controlled House, and so the drafting is being done by the majority. But the calls for the president to leave office, the calls for the vice president to use the 25th Amendment, those are calls coming in a bipartisan way because of the very real concerns that Democrats and Republicans and former elected officials and military officials and business leaders, the threats that they all see in the coming 12 days coming from the president. So there is very much a bipartisan. This is a national effort. This is not a Democratic effort.
So
that said,
do you think that soon to be minority leader Mitch McConnell would a two-thirds vote be present in the U.S. Senate to remove this president?
I don't know that. But shouldn't we put the defense of our country and our democracy front and center, and let members of the House and Senate decide for themselves whether they see the same threat that we all witnessed in the president's behavior this past week? It's not up to me to predict what the outcome is. It's up to me to defend the Constitution and our democracy and recognize a very real threat when we see it. And we're well past that. This attack on the Capitol means that we're well past the time where we're just worried about what might happen. We know what might happen because sadly it did. The impeachment articles.
And we've got just a minute left, Congressman.
Sure. The impeachment articles simply say that the president's acted in a manner grossly incompatible with self-governance and the rule of law. And that he be removed from office and be disqualified from holding any office in the future. This is a necessary step. At what point, and I would leave it at this, at what point do we simply move beyond words and not act? And this is not just about the president's behavior. Again, this is about the future of our democracy and defending it. And that's what we need to do.
Well, we want to thank you for appearing statewide on the Florida Roundup this Friday after the ordeal that you and your colleagues in Congress endured Wednesday, along with the staffers there. It certainly was a horrific incident that the entire nation watched in shock. And I want to thank you, Ted Deutsch, Representative Ted Deutsch, Democrat of South Florida. He does sit on the House Judiciary Committee. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
We should note we did invite Republican members of Florida's House delegation to appear on this show today. They declined. The Florida Roundup, produced by WJCT Public Media in Jacksonville and WLRN Public Media in Miami. Heather Schatz and Denise Royal are the producers.
Jason Zapka is the WLRN Director of Radio Programming, WLRN's Director of Radio Operations, and our Technical Director is Peter Mertz. We get engineering help each and every week from Doug Peterson, Charles Michaels, and Josh Torres. Richard Ives answers the phones. Our theme music provided by Miami jazz guitarist Aaron Libos at aaronlibos.com. I'm Tom Hudson.
And I'm Melissa Ross. Have a great weekend.